Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan. And good morning. Actually, Lynette has the day off today, and Mark Holland filling in for Lynette, but it's still Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Umat, and, well, actually, Dr. Mixon has the day off, too. We have a special guest. Dr. Umat, you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, with pleasure. We have Dr. Michael Gilbert.
Good morning.
Yes, so
morning.
Nice to have you here, Michael.
Oh, yes.
Thank you for coming in. He's responded to our bat signals many a time. But Dr. Michael Gilbert, as you know, for vision, and any issues related to your eyes or your visual health or any problems that you may be having, he's right here today if you have any questions. And actually, I have a great topic that I want to start our show with today, but I'll let Mark give out the phone numbers before we start.
And the phone number to call in your questions for Dr. Gilbert or Dr. Umat today is 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770.
Thank you, Mark. And so today, Dr. Mixon is out. So it's just us holding the fort together. And actually, we have a shorter show today, don't we, Mark?
We do. I guess we're joining the Mariners at 9 this morning. So just 1 hour of the show today.
Okay. So anybody listening in, this is your time.
Yeah, don't wait.
I'm an enthusiastic, lifelong, native-born Seattleite. Uh-huh. And I enjoy the Mariners, but really.
10 a.m., 9 a.m.
Really, the Mariners instead of longevity? I can't think. I am seeing eye rolls across the Northwest of our radio listeners who are saying, wait. I am not going to sit here. What?
You know, baseball is America's pastime game. Well, I thought it was football, actually. Right. I don't. What do I know?
I used to have season's tickets. I used to take the kids. I grew up going to the Rainiers. So I've known Seattle baseball for many, many years. But I have to confess, I totally stopped going and stopped taking the kids when they did the big strike many years ago. And never got back to it. So
really?
I enjoy the occasional game, but my enthusiasm for the sport faded a little bit when we had young kids and they were just learning all about the excitement of baseball as a sport.
Yeah.
And it took a little of the shine off the...
Right. I mean, it's very similar to cricket, right? I grew up watching cricket.
Right,
cricket is religion in India.
Yeah, of course.
And actually, there's a lot of Americans that play cricket, too, now, I heard recently. So it was a nice surprise for me because I thought Americans watch football and nothing else. But the Olympics, you know, we watched all the Olympics.
Wasn't that spectacular?
It really was. Yeah. All aspects of it. I really enjoyed it. And it's a tribute to the athletes and to the human body.
Oh.
Just watching them and you go, oh, my goodness.
And every Olympics and these events, they break world records, which means we're continually stretching just a little bit.
That's right.
Right?
That's
athletically and artistically.
Yeah.
So I think, it's just very exciting to see those human achievements.
Right. And what the human body can do. It's incredible.
It also makes you think about longevity because you look at yourself in the mirror that same evening after watching these lithe young individuals in gymnastics and think, better turn on Jerry's program.
That's right.
I haven't called Dr. Umat just lately. I better check those blood levels.
That's right. Get on my calendar.
Oh, my.
Let's take a look. But you know, Michael, as I was thinking about you coming today, it was this article, and it's been published a lot on social media recently, about memory loss, about dementia, yeah. mm-hmm. and the factors that can help reduce the risk for dementia. And two things came up, hearing loss and vision loss.
Right.
And with eyes particularly, people that may present with dementia may actually just have visual problems because of either cataracts or diabetic retinopathy that may progress to look like dementia. But actually, if you fix the hearing and vision, they may right. become normal in terms of their memory.
Right. We were talking about this just before the program.
Yeah.
I have seen some dramatic examples of patients whose family believed that the primary problem was dementia. And in fact, there was an element of dementia.
Yeah.
But they were so surprised how that dementia faded in its relative weighting in that patient's life when they had a restoration of their vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure some of those same things have happened with hearing, because I know both of those two centers are associated
right.
with progression of dementia. And sometimes right. faux dementia here, mm-hmm. I guess, is what we're talking
right.
about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really
sure,
dementia
sure.
as much as it is sensory
deprivation.
Right?
Right. I mean, with the diabetic retinopathy, I guess there is a vascular component too
right.
and reduced
exactly.
blood flow. But certainly if you enhance and correct for any other sensory deficits, it will make the cognitive impairment less of an
right.
issue.
Right.
And so paying attention to those things is so important. And I think, you know, people do know about their cataracts, but there's been new developments even in cataract surgeries, right?
Oh, you know, every year we are doing cataract surgery younger and younger.
Mm.
And I would say, I know, clearly an increasing percentage of patients are having it done in their 50s mm-hmm. instead of their 60s, 70s, 80s.
Right.
And instead of waiting, I know I chose to have mine done in my 50s because I knew, number one, that refractive change that I get has become so much an improvement in vision.
Yeah.
Now you hear RLE
yes.
advertised on the radio. And one of the reasons is when you change that lens, the polymer lens doesn't degrade mm-hmm. over the rest of your lifetime. So that refractive change that you get from RLE or early cataract surgery becomes your new eyes for the rest of your life.
Wow.
That doesn't change.
Right.
Now, it can change. The eye is elastic. But the vast majority doesn't change. So I had mine done in my 50s, knowing what I know.
And you'll never have to do it again.
And I know I don't have to do it again.
Yeah.
And why would I wait for that benefit? And I had been a contact lens wearer for decades, since I was preteen.
Mm-hmm.
And my prescription was high enough. But I was successful with contact lenses. No reason to take any risk of surgery. But in my 50s, your eyes get a little drier and
yeah.
the contacts aren't as comfortable
yeah,
as they used
right.
to be, right?
That's right.
And so I knew that the next, if you make that decision in, you know, before 50s, in your 20s, 30s, 40s, LASIK is a perfect option.
Yeah.
But after 40s, starting about 50, it's time to do it with the lens. The lens actually is a much more powerful tool, and because that's when it starts the decline in function.
Mm-hmm.
And that decline in function is progressive from about 40 till it becomes cataract. And during that whole time, it's a slow decline. Initial decline is just in function. You can't read this
right.
well, right? And
right.
you gradually are more dependent on glasses
yes.
and contacts and what have you. But the implant technology at the same time has been improving so much because now the technologies I'm able to use today are much better than the ones that I had in my own eye a decade ago. I would never go back because I had 10 years of freedom that
right.
I would not have had.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't resent it a bit, but the ones that I am offering patients that I do today, this week, I get to see miracles. And, you know, that deprivation that we were talking
yes.
about with dementia, I had one patient who was a little bit younger, but had a minus 18 correction. Now, wow. That doesn't mean much because the numbers are abstract, but imagine that you can't focus beyond an inch and a half, 2 inches in front of your eyes. That's right. Where that's in focus. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world is a complete blur. So without glasses or contacts, that means if your glasses fall off of the nightstand, you can't find them.
Right.
You That's have to true. Feel around or get to, help. To, yes. Right. So there is sensory deprivation of major kinds. And so that patient, oh my gosh, I just got a chill thinking about it.
Yeah.
As I was taking the microscope away in the operating room, she started crying.
Mm. Yes.
Because suddenly she was seeing everything in the room.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
she said, I have never seen.
That's right.
Right. So,
that's so gratifying.
So that restoration
kind
of vision
right?
for mm-hmm. that kind of patient
right.
or that senior who has slowly, and one of the things that I have seen that is kind of abstract, you think, well, my vision isn't bad. The vast majority of patients that I treat don't realize one of the reasons it's such a surprise after they've had the eye surgery is the decline is typically so exquisitely slow.
Oh, yeah.
The decline, your vision is...
And we adapt.
Your vision is the exact same as it was yesterday
yeah.
and the day before and the week before, but it's not the same as it was 3 years ago.
That's right.
That glacial movement of decline, mm-hmm. like much of our aging,
yes.
becomes lost to us. We don't see it.
That's right.
Because
we don't.
The brain is micro-adjusting, saying, we can do this. We're okay. We're okay.
That's right.
And so patients don't notice that the colors have changed.
That's right.
Colors dramatically change.
Yes.
And the quality of the vision slowly declines. And your best vision is now around the driver's license line instead of 20/20, 20/15,
right.
which is what it used to be.
Right.
And then suddenly, over 24 hours to get that back is
quite dramatic.
And sometimes can have real cognitive benefits. Sometimes slow, sometimes quite dramatic.
I can only imagine. Now, in the past, they would always wait to do cataract surgeries, right?
Right. Well, whenever you're thinking about surgery, you do a risk-benefit analysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so two things have changed in that calculus, the risk and the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The statistical risk, it used to be 30 years ago, we used to make large incisions, suture them closed. It took a month to get vision back.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To it's stable to the point where you could have glasses. That was a month,
mm-hmm.
right? When my father had it, it was a month. Well, now, 30 years later, my average patient has better than driver's license vision overnight.
Mm. And that's just
without glasses.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
And so that the statistical risk has been going down.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, just because of techniques and technologies
right.
of doing that surgery, at the same time, the benefit has been changing.
Yeah.
Because over that same period of time, we've developed implant technologies that change, that correct astigmatism and your full prescription, and not only deliver distance vision to people who have never had distance vision, but also can give you a range of vision, distance, intermediate, and near, which is like going back in time.
Mm.
Because, as those implant technologies have developed, our ability first came just to correct the prescription for distance.
Yeah.
But that's like having, if you're an older adult with contacts, you got distance, but you still need your reading glasses, right? Because it won't give you near.
Right.
But the implant technologies today incorporate that multifocality, and there are a number of different ways that that's done. And it's been getting better and better. The implant technology that I did for my younger brother and Jerry has has improved. And I don't use that lens anymore.
Wow.
Because there are better lenses, right? And I haven't
right.
told Jerry.
Yeah.
I hope you're not listening. That lens is still available. It's a reasonable lens, but the lenses are better because they don't integrate with those muscles that fail over time. And until we have non-failing muscles, then, the optical technology has taken over where our integration has been
failing. Wow. Fascinating. So, yeah. That's great.
I hear music in the background.
Yeah, that means we need to go to a quick commercial break. You're listening to Dr. Michael Gilbert today, an eye specialist, and Dr. Umat, of course. And your calls will get to Eileen and Jan right after the break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Come back here in just a few moments. To Leading Edge Medicine, Mark in for Lynette today, and Dr. Michael Gilbert in for Dr. Mixon today. But Dr. Umat is constant.
I was going to say there are nobody can fill those shoes, but my feet, you know, I'm very close stature-wise to Dr. Mixon.
Yeah,
so
you're pretty tall, Michael.
My shoes, I can pretty much get in his shoes. I'm not sure I can fill his shoes, but I can.
Yeah, that was funny, Mark.
Well, so, you guys have some more updates on some advances with eye issues.
We do, yeah. But before, this is a visual thing.
Yes, it is a visual thing.
So
isn't
I
it?
Have to comment
so,
because
wait, hang on.
I listen
so,
to the show.
Yes,
right?
And this is the first time you've come to the new studio, isn't
that's,
it?
That's correct. Yeah. Now, I've been to the new studio in prior steps. So the last time I was here, it was a huge black hole.
Wall, yeah.
With our little table in the corner, right?
Right, you know? Right.
And now there's this big, beautiful studio with mahogany wall and... On the radio was the moss description.
Yes,
it was so it was so much less than what I'm seeing.
Uh-huh.
This is a dramatic piece,
isn't it? Though
it is fascinating.
Yeah.
It is a moss forest.
on the wall.
Escape. And it begs to be touched.
What is that restaurant? The Rainforest Cafe, maybe? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Don't they have moss everywhere?
I think that's
everywhere?
Right. Live moss,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. This is live, too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought Jerry said it was not.
Hey,
it
is
was
it
preserved.
Live? Is it preserved? I thought it was
he
live.
He said it was preserved on the radio,
okay.
I thought.
Live and well-preserved.
But, you know, whatever it is, it begs, it is so three-dimensional and alive in appearance that it begs to, you know, you want to run your hands over it to see what the textures are. Anyway, let's talk about vision.
Yeah, we haven't hidden it behind glass.
No. I was thinking, in fact, I said that, I think while you were out of the room, that this is so tactile. I think you're going to have to protect it with glass because everyone who comes in is going to think, huh, wow. And then it'll start falling off, I think.
Well, so far, we've actually done really well.
Okay, that's right.
So let's see. I don't know.
For a few weeks.
But yeah, Michael, you were saying something about the new GLP-1 agonist medications that are becoming very common for not just diabetes management, but weight optimization
right,
as well.
Right.
And also recent data published about cardiovascular health and improvement of heart diseases. And also a lot of patients are noticing an improvement in inflammation and so on and so forth. So the scope of use for these medications is increasing. There was talk recently about whether they are appropriate for use in children or not. And after initial approval, there was hesitation. And now they've kind of decided to rethink that just because the impact of growth on children is unclear.
Yeah.
And so they're not approving it, but people are asking about it. People are also asking whether the drugs should be used when we know that the side effects, say, for example, antidepressants, the side effect is weight gain. And so should we use these drugs when we manage depression because
right.
they will prevent the side
effect? What's
the
role and when do you
yeah.
use it?
So there, the potential use for the medication is phenomenal. Yet, as the use is increasing and more people are on it, we are learning about side effects of the medication,
right,
too.
Right, exactly.
We knew of many, and there is, you know, caution and stipulation that you have to be careful. You always have to weigh the risk-benefit ratio for yourself personally. But now, as more and more people are using the medication, we are discovering more and more side effects.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning that you've noticed something in the eyes.
So one I should have anticipated but didn't really think of is anytime you take someone who is changing or initializing or changing their diabetic treatment regimen alters the blood glucose.
Right.
And it turns out the blood glucose level influences the shape of the natural lens. So if you improve your blood glucose control using one of the group, Mounjaro or any one of them, you suddenly have a different glucose level in the eye.
Right.
Yay, that's long-term probably very good, but it can change your prescription. Now, that wouldn't change if you've had implant surgery because the plastic isn't going to change.
Right.
But if you still have your natural lens at any age, the change of the average blood glucose level will influence your prescription.
Absolutely.
And when you have early change or when you've just gotten on the drug, there can be some fluctuation as there's stabilization. The prescription can change. So if you notice that your vision isn't quite as clear after you've been on it for, say, a month, it'd be a good idea to go and get an eye exam and check what that new prescription is based on a change in the prescription. That's pretty simple.
But that's good to know.
Right.
And as people who use the medication know, the dose is increased every month.
This may change your prescription.
Right.
And will it make it better or worse? Well, a lot depends on what your prescription is. So there's no predicting that. That depends on whether you're nearsighted or farsighted or the age of the natural lens. But it can influence that prescription. So after you've been on it and you've reached a steady state dose, it may be reasonable to have your eyes checked for vision. For people who actively have diabetes, because as you mentioned, many are taking it for weight control, but for those who have diabetes, it's a good idea after you've been on it for a short time, a few months, to have that, have you make sure you're timely on your eye exams for the retina. Because if you have any diabetic retinopathy, long term, it's much better to have better better glucose control,
right?
Lower progression of diabetic retinopathy is associated with improved glucose control, no question. But sudden change of that control, paradoxically, can cause an increase in diabetic retinopathy.
Interesting.
So although, you know, long term you're undoubtedly better off, short term you can have a flare up of that diabetic retinopathy. So you know, your point is so important. It isn't all good news. Mm-hmm. There are some concerns, and one that's that has me a little anxious is there was a report of non-arteritic ischemic optic neuropathy, which is a lot of verbiage, but it's ischemic, meaning that there's obviously vascular compromise, right? Blood flow to the optic nerve such that there's permanent vision loss. And in the study that was reported, it was 5%, which is not a big percentage, but if it's permanent loss of vision, that's considerable.
Absolutely.
Now, that was a small report and needs to be looked at, and that's still in press. So early data, and that will be looked at very closely because that would – you know, that's a serious sort of side effect.
Yeah.
But there are many like that, very small but serious. And I think you mentioned one as well.
Yeah. You know, medullary cancer of the thyroid is by far and away the one that most people worry about. But nonetheless, pancreatitis, bowel obstructions, it has caused people to go to the emergency rooms, depression, suicidal ideation. So these list is increasing. And so the message here is it's not the drug that you want to use if you want to lose 5-10 pounds. You know, do it the hard way, work at it. Yet the medication is invaluable in people who have uncontrolled diabetes and who have multiple medical issues that it can help with. And we're seeing that because it controls inflammation, manages the diabetes better. Therefore, every aspect of their body, which was affected by the high sugar, as we said, eyes, brain, heart, everything will be better. And so, yes, there is a role, but again, risk-benefit ratio is very, very important, and we have to assess each individual person and make sure that the risk is benefit.
You know, to your point, what's unique about the eye is we get to look in, and it's the only place in the body where we can actually watch the vascular damage.
Yeah.
So, and because what, you know, to what you were saying, if I'm looking in and I'm seeing that diabetic retinopathy, that kind of vascular damage is happening all over the body.
That's right.
And I look at it, and I'm looking at the damage in the eye, and I'm thinking eye only.
Yes.
But the implications are that's the only place we get to look at those blood
vessels.
That's
right.
But those blood vessels, microvasculature,
yes,
is throughout the entire body.
That's right. The brain,
right,
the
exactly.
kidneys.
Right, right. and the retina is a neural tissue, yeah, right? So it's going on in the brain as well.
Right.
So it kind of alerts you to start thinking whole body in
yes.
terms of these drugs.
Yes.
That, you know, wow, I, you know, as I was thinking, I could shed a few pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe I should talk to Samira. And then I said, oh, wait.
Maybe not.
You know what? Maybe
I'll
just.
Hard way.
Maybe we'll just go old fashioned.
You know, the point here that we're making, and I think it's very important, is that we compartmentalize the body into parts and send you off to specialists, yet it's all of you. If you have heart disease, it doesn't mean it's just the heart that's affected. It means that every part of your body that is getting blood from the heart is affected. And therefore, everything is connected. And, you know, we started with memory and hearing loss and vision. And then we talked about the GLP-1 agonist being used for diabetes and so on and so forth. But it's all of you that is impacted by everything. Therefore, you know, what we practice is so important because we address every part of you in every visit and focus on what brings you to us, but we kind of teach you about how it's all connected
right.
and why it's important to pay
all
attention.
All connected.
Yeah. 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 So with that said, Mark, should we take an early break?
Yeah, let's go to a break here, and we'll be back with still we have Eileen with a question about medications affecting the heart, and also Jan wants to talk about macular degeneration.
Perfect.
And maybe your
much
question,
more interesting.
Maybe your questions, too. Call them in. Call them in for the doctors. 800-465-8770.
I know we've got eye questions out there.
800-465-8770. We have Dr. Michael Gilbert in today, joining Dr. Umat and more of Leading Edge Medicine in just a few moments. Back with more of Leading Edge Medicine. Mark in for Lynette today. Dr. Michael Gilbert, our special guest from Northwest Vision Institute. Dr. Umat is standing by. We're all standing by to take your calls. Well, I'm not, but I did want to chime in there a little bit. I do take Ozempic, and it has helped me lose 40 pounds.
Wow.
But it sounds like you say
good
I need to
you.
Go get an eye exam, though, too, because of it. The number to call is 800-465-8770. And just a one-hour show today. We're off here at 9 o'clock, giving way to the Mariners. So if you have a question, do call it in. 800-465-8770. Let's go to Eileen in Lacey. She has a question for the doctors. Hi, Eileen.
Hello, Eileen.
Hi there.
Good morning.
I'm wondering, really quick, because there's so much static, but it seemed to have suddenly stopped. Hey, my husband has bursitis in his left hip very badly. He's 82, and it's really cutting into his ability to be fit and everything. And I'd like to try him on some relief factor. But he's on Plavix and a baby aspirin. So is that safe to mix those?
Yeah, and that's a very good question. And with the, as a general rule, we have to be very careful when you're using a blood thinner and high doses of omega-3 fish oils. So mm-hmm. I would be very careful, and I would probably be cautious given his age as well, since he's on Plavix as well as a baby aspirin. I have actually, you know, especially if he's, are you noticing any bruising on him, on his skin?
No, no, not at all. He does bleed easily though when he shaves and and that kind of stuff.
and, why don't
you? Know,
you...
Yeah,
I would probably say you try the curcumin and resveratrol combination without the omega-3 fish oil first.
Oh, and what's that called?
Well, you can either buy them separately or you can buy the Relief Factor but not give him the fish oil.
Oh, and the fish oil, you can tell, right? Because it's a gel.
That's right.
I buy fish oil.
Yes.
And no, I'm sorry. I misspoke. I buy Relief Factor. I take it myself. And I help my kids. And it turns out, like this, my daughter has some inflammatory problems. So I give her exactly that. I give her the curcumin. Right, right. No, I give her the curcumin. And
okay.
All. And she won't take fish oil pills.
Okay.
My son has dry eyes.
Uh-huh.
And so he's also an ophthalmologist, and he and I both believe that omega-3s in the fish oil are helpful. So I give him the fish oil. So I split it between the kids.
The Gilbert family.
Yeah, that's right. I take the whole thing. I take the whole thing.
That is so cute.
I prescribe a lot of omega-3 supplementation for support of eye health. And the number of reasons, from macula to dry eyes. But I'm always cautious about people who are on blood thinners with their cardiologists.
Yes.
I suggest that they talk to them. There's been mixed literature about the impact of the omega-3s, but I prefer that be managed by, you know, because they're managing doses of the Plavix. And so it is a good idea to talk that over with them. And they can, as long as they're monitoring your values, they may say that's fine and suggest a dose, and you can gradually integrate that into your regimen. But you'd want to be consistent with it, rather than some people are very spotty about how they take omega-3s.
Well, the other thing too, Michael, here is his age is 82.
Yeah.
And so given that he's older now, you want to be more careful than not.
Right.
And then I recognize that the bursitis is affecting his overall wellness, and so getting him up and mobile would probably be a good thing for him. But nonetheless, you don't want him to be bruising easily or
that's
have
why
a mini
want,
bleed. Yeah.
That's why I'd have the cardiologist manage it, because they could introduce some omega-3s and adjust the Plavix dose to compensate.
That's right. Exactly. You may want to bring it up with the cardiologist and say, you know, you're thinking about it and it might help with the bursitis. And what would they suggest?
Yeah.
And in the meantime, you can use other things like the curcumin and the resveratrol.
Very good. I appreciate
remember, it's
that
a combination
so
of all of them that'll help with the hip. So try some.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
All right.
Okay. Does that help, Eileen?
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, good luck to you, Eileen.
It,
yeah.
It answered my question. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Eileen. Let's move over to Jan in Kirkland. She's the one who has a question about macular degeneration. Jan, what's your question specifically?
Hello, Jan.
Yes.
Good morning, Jan.
Hi. In April, I was diagnosed with my dry AMD became wet, and I had but between my blood draws, I had 5 injections in my eyes, 2 in one eye, and 2, 3, anyway, one eye had one more than the other because it became wet first, and that was of Vanston, and I. When I had my lab review, the only difference in anything I had been doing was getting that shot, and all my kidneys went haywire. They were really affected, and I've been told that it's very unusual for the eye shots to affect your kidneys because the eyes have a barrier. They're more self-contained than many parts in your body. But I wanted to get somebody else's opinion. What the doctor's doing now, the retinologist is doing, she is not giving me, and unless I'm showing signs of the puffiness or any you know, whatever it's called, she's not giving me the shots, just out of precaution. But I was wanted to get somebody else's opinion.
I have never heard of this. My son is a retina specialist and does these treatments every day. So I wish he were at hand that I could ask him if he's ever heard of this. My first reaction would be like the information that you've gotten, that the eye is compartmentalized enough that the amount of the drug that actually gets systemically absorbed would be so small that I could not imagine that it had the kind of impact that you're describing. So that's my first thought, that it's coincidence. But I don't believe entirely in coincidence, so I think, I think we have to ask that question. Since millions of these doses are being given, I think we should be able to track that down. So not only will I ask my son, but I'll also get the feedback to Dr. Umat, who will be able to update you when I talk to the retina specialist. But it sounds like your retina specialist has not heard of that previously, correct?
Yeah. No, she did say that it's a very little ever leaks out, as she put it out.
Essentially what I said, meaning that, the systemic absorption is exquisitely small because it is a closed compartment. There will be some because it's absorbed into the vasculature. But.
So
I didn't know if, because I've had kidney disease for years, but it has always kept fairly stable without, having, to get too bad. Dr. Umass, kept an eye on it, and other doctors before that. And I didn't know if that, since I had kidney disease already, if that was a factor. The thing is, that was the only thing different that's had.
So I'm, my gut says it's coincidence, that unrelated, but I'm going to do some research and we'll come back with an answer.
So in the meantime, as we're thinking about this, my question is, should the AMD management continue, or is there a risk to her health if it's held or the dose is reduced?
These drugs do powerful work in preventing permanent loss of vision. A delay in treatment probably leads to some component of permanent loss.
Okay. So we shouldn't delay her treatment.
So, that has to be watched very closely.
Yeah.
Because
she's having me come in about every month to check to see if...
That's pretty standard. Most of these drugs are given.
Rather than, sometimes when I've gone in, they've given, even though I wasn't showing me,
you mentioned the drug that was being used, Avastin, but there are many different drugs that can be used. Avastin has the advantage of being incredibly more affordable than the vast majority of the FDA-approved drugs for treating this condition. Aside from affordability, it's often effective, so it's used first line, because the insurance companies require it. Was this with Avastin? And if it was with Avastin, did they try one of the other other medications?
I asked her, and she said all the drugs can have that very same effect.
Okay. So she says that they have seen this kidney panel changes with intravitreal injections of this class of drug?
She didn't say she had necessarily seen it, but she said it could be a very rare thing. Okay. She was as puzzled by it as in anything.
So I'll do a little more research. But I would think that if you see that effect with Avastin, choosing when, because this treatment isn't done lightly. It's to prevent permanent loss of vision. It is a miracle drug and treatment that has evolved over my practice lifetime. This disease caused blindness. Mm-hmm. In fact, before the advent of these injections, the treatment as I was entering ophthalmology, we would laser permanent damage. The laser was not treating the blood vessels. The laser was to kill this off as if one would surgically remove tissue or with a cancer, to kill it off. So you'd force blindness in a certain area so it didn't spread.
Hmm.
And then we came up with different laser treatments that actually would address specifically the blood vessels. Then the introduction of this class of drug that you inject into the eye that causes the resorption of these abnormal blood vessels and normalization of the tissue is a small miracle. So, I think absent.
No, my father was one of the test cases on the laser years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right. There's been a lot of this has been a rapidly changing area of ophthalmology and a small miracle. It used to be a sentence for permanent loss of central vision, and now oftentimes we can stop or reverse the damage if treated early.
Right. Hey, Jan, why don't you hold on for a minute? The music says we have to go to a break, and then we'll come back and finish up with macular degeneration.
Okay, fine.
All right.
Okay, thanks, Jan. We'll get back to you here in just a moment. Taking a quick break. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Back in just a few moments. Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Mark in for Lynette today. We have Dr. Umat with us and special guest Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. Still have Jan on the line talking about macular degeneration questions.
So while we're talking about macular degeneration, I think we have to remember the basics that we know influences the prevention of the onset of wet macular degeneration, but also should be continued while you're being treated for it, and that is nutritional with the AREDS formula, vitamin study based on the NIH research, very powerful research that was done across the United States. Over-the-counter, two small capsules a day, and the study was done that showed that a significant percentage of patients had preservation.
Well, I don't take them per se, but I take with all the supplements I have, I make sure I have everything that's in them and in the right.
So that makes
quantities.
Sense. But most people
because if I took them, then I'd be overdosing on some things.
Well, actually, that was part of the research that was done when they looked at the formulation. Half of the patients were given that as the only supplement. Half of the patients just added it to whatever they were taking, and both did equally well. And the only challenge to trying to duplicate it is there is an unusual amount of zinc and copper in the AREDS formula. Mm. The rest you can you can take individual supplements, but it does have an outsized out of proportion amount of zinc and copper. That is part of an important part of what that formula does. So most likely, as you craft your own, you may be missing that one part of the balance.
I take extra zinc pills and copper pills, both.
Very good. I'll let you do the math. It's on the bottles and widely published.
Although convenient, check and make sure things haven't changed.
Good. Convenient in the the over-the-counter forms. My favorite brand is PreserVision, only because they are their laboratories are followed by the FDA, whereas most are not. So PreserVision is also the one that was the source for the supplement that was actually used by the NIH. That's the only reason I like them better.
Yeah,
the other thing, later published by the AREDS research, was that we were just talking about omega-3s. It turns out that those patients taking omega-3s also statistically had a decrease in the onset of wet macular degeneration. They did not drill down to a dose recommendation. Their study was just, are you taking or are you not? And so patients who were taking some form of fish oil supplementation did better.
That's good to know. That's
okay,
great.
Jan, does that help?
Yeah. Okay, fine. Yes, and thank you. And I just wanted to get somebody who I know does research on this, and, you know,
I'm going to do some more checking, and I'll be sharing that with Dr. Umat, and I know she'll be interested in sharing that with you as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate that, and thank you very, very much.
All right.
My pleasure.
Thanks,
good to talk to you.
Thanks, Jan. Let's go to Stephen in Renton. He has a question about some vision loss in his left eye and some other issues. Stephen in Renton, you still there?
Hi, Stephen.
Good morning.
Yeah, hi. It's been almost 10 months ago. It was October 20th. Just out of the blue, I lost peripheral vision a little bit on the left side of my left eye. And it was almost like I felt a sensation at the same time. And I waited 6 days. I went to a hospital, and they just checked my vision, and like with the driver's license eye test, and each eye one at a time. And I could read the smallest print letters with each eye, but I definitely lost peripheral vision. And the sun seems like it's like 10 times brighter to me than ever before. If I'm walking toward the sun or driving toward the sun, I have to really
squint. Have you had this checked by an ophthalmologist?
No, I'm on Medicaid, and it's a long story, but it happened in Aberdeen. I was 6 months over there with my brother.
Okay.
And, I tried to find a doctor out there, and I'm on, and it was going to be, such a long wait. I just kind of just decided to skip it. I know I shouldn't have, but I called somebody that I also have diabetes. I'm 64 and a half. And
is it getting worse or is it stabilized?
The peripheral isn't getting worse, but it seems like my vision is getting where I'm reading things. Like if I go to the library computer, I can't read some of the letters I have to put on these.
I have to strongly recommend that you get in and see an ophthalmologist. With your diabetic history alone, there's strong reason. With your slow decline in vision, that independently would be a strong reason. For the episodic loss of peripheral vision, that's an independent reason.
It really is.
Could be a stroke.
That's right.
Could be a retinal detachment or tear. Most likely, I'm thinking that would have progressed.
Mm.
It could be, and I think the most likely is a vascular disruption like a branch retinal vein occlusion or something like that, which can have implications towards stroke risk. So I'm thinking, mm-hmm. I have this long list of concerns about you. My guess is it could be your change in vision could just be some cataract progression. That could be really simple. And maybe you just need a change in glasses. There are many practices that accept patients who with Medicaid. So I think you need to take a little more initiative and find someone who does it. When you have a sudden loss
you have to go to a specialist. You have to first go to a primary doctor.
No.
And then you don't need to?
No.
Oh.
You just need to find an eye practitioner that accepts Medicaid in your area, and that should not be difficult. But definitely, sudden loss of peripheral vision is likely vascular. But just by your description, I can't tell you whether that's in the retina or in the brain. It could have been temporary, but you know, I think that needs to be measured and looked at. And with your history of diabetes, you've got multiple reasons that someone needs to look at that retina and make sure that you know, that's not the direct cause of some of your symptoms.
Well, I called because this can lead to this happened.
This can lead to permanent loss.
Yeah. I called somebody when it happened, and she has diabetes, and she's 85 when it happened last October, and she said she had the same thing happen, and hers was a macular tear or something like that.
Right. And so it turns out what we're describing here, most of them won't get better with time.
Mm.
In fact, what happens is they most likely become irreparable or get worse with time. So I'm going to encourage you again, you need to start looking for an eye care practitioner in that's convenient to you that accepts Medicaid and get that seen.
Okay. I sometimes almost feel like I can feel a sensation on that eye. I was thinking like if there's a tear there might, wouldn't that cause like a slight wrinkling?
So we can certainly speculate more about what it might be, but honestly, you need to figure out what it is. Since we're talking about, you know, last October, you sitting on these symptoms and they're slowly increasing, this is not going to get better. In fact, the ability to address this and reverse what damage may or may not have happened only becomes more challenging over time. So I think you need to get on this. One resource that you could consider is the Washington Academy of Eye Physicians and Surgeons, which you can find on the internet, or if there is such a thing as a phone book anymore. Does that even exist? But I know you can find it. Washington. I wish it were simpler. I can give you the acronym, but it's Washington Academy of Eye Physicians and Surgeons. Should be able to tell you a list of ophthalmologists in your area.
Right.
And whether or not they take Medicaid, that I don't know. I'm not sure they keep track of that. But you should be able to do a search on the internet and easily find, which you can, you know, get at a local library for free.
Right. And then they probably have an area on those website where if you put in the zip code, it'll pop up the name of the providers in that zip code.
Sure. And I wonder if you can't even include Medicaid in your search.
Yeah. Might be worth trying.
Okay.
Thank you, Stephen, for your call. Hopefully that helps. And Dr. Gilbert, Northwest Vision Institute is your place, 425-450-2020. Do you have a website people can find out more?
NW Vision, northwestvision.com. NWVision.com.
Northwestvision.com.
And you have two locations.
Two locations, Kirkland and Bellevue.
Okay. And a little bit shorter program today because we're giving way to the Mariners here in a moment. I do want to mention real quickly the free health analysis appointment includes several free tests. You can find out more about that. Book an appointment right now at 1-866-86-YOUNG. You can also schedule an appointment at lmclinic.com. Of course, Longevity has clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. It's been a fun, fast one-hour show today. Dr. Mixon and Lynette and Dr. Umat will be back next week. Mark filling in today. And thank you. We'll have a wonderful Saturday. And thank you for listening to Leading Edge Medicine from Longevity Medical Clinic.